Welcome to Vegas Circle Podcast with your host, Pocky and Chris. We are people who are passionate about business, success, and culture, and this is our platform to showcase the people in our city who made it happen. On today's podcast, we're going to be discussing building a successful MMA and Extreme Fighting League with the founder of Lights Out Extreme Fighting. We have former All-Pro NFL linebacker, Mr. Sean Merriman. So welcome to the circle, brother.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So I apologize, man. My guy Chris is under the weather, man. So he's sleeping in bed right now, man.
But, look, I feel him. I feel
we had to make it happen.
This weather out here make anybody sick, man. It's so hot outside.
You ain't lying. It's been like 110 like every day. So.
I know.
But let's jump right in, man. So how did you come up with this Lights Out Extreme Fighting?
Well, you know, the crazy part was I started to train MMA back when I was playing. And my boy Jay Glazer, the Fox Sports broadcaster, he said, "Hey, I know you grew up boxing because I grew up in Prince George's County, Maryland, and in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So I grew up boxing. I had a couple of uncles that were professional boxers, cousins. So we grew up in a boxing family. But MMA didn't start getting big till like mid-2000s. So when I got drafted by the Chargers, so I started working out during the off seasons, man, with Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture. I would be with all these guys. And I just like fell in love with the sport.
Yeah.
You know, I just fell in love with the sport. And actually the first couple of times I started doing, I had to get my ass kicked.
I bet you, yeah. Especially with Chuck Liddell.
All these guys, man. And so for me, it was like, just that competitive part of it. I wanted to get better at it. Mm-hmm. But what it did was it ended up helping me a lot with football. Being able to use my leverage and hands and stuff like that. And so even now when I...
Probably your balance too, right?
Balance everything, and it completely changed my game from 2005 to 2006.
Okay.
I just felt a lot better. Fast forward, retired 2013, got straight in the TV booth, broadcast with NFL Network, Fox Sports, ESPN, and back to Fox Sports. And in 2019, I ended up launching Lights Out Extreme Fighting. And so for me, it was like an easy transition because... I understood TV, right? Because I built TV shows or other big, networks and organizations. So I understood production and the whole thing. So, I mean, even to the point with selling sponsorship, I figured that part out. Yeah. And then I was heavy enough in the sport where I knew all the players, right? I knew exactly which matchmakers to go to because I've been around all of them. Mm-hmm. All the head of production guys, the best production guys, the best operation guys. So it was easy for me to make that transition because I already had the core of the business.
Okay.
After that, man, it's just becoming a natural promoter of the brand, the natural promoter of these other fighters that's up and coming and trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Was it tough? Because I saw, were you recruiting a lot of the NFL players when I was reading about? So is that how a little bit of this started? So
yeah, I still do.
Okay.
I still do. It's some of the, it's funny. I posted even today on on Twitter, I posted Anthony Davis. He was boxing and stuff a little bit. Okay. But I've been saying this for years. Especially with NFL players, it's an easier transition to get into combat sports.
How so though? Because MMA is not for play, man.
That's the thing. You got to, when you decide to take a series, you got to pick up the discipline. That's the thing. You can't just walk in because I did that my first day. I walked in, poked my chest out. I'm stronger than the other.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I'm like on my back and I couldn't get up. Right.
I bet.
It was a humbling experience. But a lot of these guys, you see Frank Gore, you see, who else got in there recently? Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. So there's going to be, over this next 12 to 24 months, there's going to be more guys that transition because you can only play football for so long. Somebody's going to come and ask for that playbook and say, hey, today's your last day.
Yeah.
And some of these guys aren't ready to retire.
Yeah.
And so they say, okay, cool. Well, I can pick up some boxing, pick up some jiu-jitsu, MMA, Muay Thai, whatever it is, and I can try my hand in this.
Okay.
And so that transition is a little bit easier for guys. First of all, you got to be a little bit different to run into another person anyway.
Run into this wall right behind you.
Yeah, just run. Don't just run into this wall, but run into this wall 60 times, right?
Different.
And so the mentality to be able to do something like that is already there. Now you just got to teach guys the discipline of it.
Got you. Yeah. Was it very, I guess I would say, intimidating for you to be able to compete, let's say, with the UFCs, right? Because I know you're a professional athlete, so you already have accomplished so much, right? But being able to size yourself up to be able to compete with the, UFCs of the world, was that intimidating for you at all?
No, not really. Okay. Because we're more of a feeder to them.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I, I'm crazy. I'm not dumb, right? And so it's one of these things where, first of all, the reason why I got into this business was because of the UFC.
Okay.
You know, when I was going to UFC back in 2005 and on, like back when before they even started to hit that peak, because I was around these guys, as I mentioned before, I was around them already.
Got it.
And so for me, I like to, because I have this built-in platform that I've got from football, playing in the biggest sport in this country, and it will always be as great as fighting is, and MMA and boxing and anything else. Football will always be king in this country here. And so when you have that built-in platform and now get a chance to get some of these up-and-coming MMA star, and you the thing is with me, I see them early on, like, you know which ones are going to be like, okay, they're going to the UFC, right? Or they're going to go, because they approach, prepare, they're different than the rest of these guys.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see a lot of them early on, like, okay, that kid is going to be a star.
Yeah. And when we were talking about it before we jumped on, how are you finding these fighters? Like, I told you how I found you was the hilarious videos of you talking about sign them up and everything had me rolling. But I know there's another strategic side of it. But first, I want to first ask you about coming up with that idea, man, just joking
when you're out there and people know I'm in the fight business now, right? My DMs would be loaded up with fighters all over the country. Like, hey, I'm trying to come fight for your organization. And, you know, if I don't know who they are, they would send these videos in. I say, okay, when was
of
your
them fighting?
Of them fighting.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so they'll send a video in. It'd be a minute, 2 minutes. They'll show a round, two rounds, whatever. I say, okay, this guy can go. He can scrap, right? Yeah. But you have some of these other ones who were sending videos that just are terrible.
Yeah.
Like what? One guy had sent a video of him getting knocked out, right?
Wait a minute. He sent a video of him getting knocked out.
Yeah, sent a video. And I said, yo, you have nothing else to show me? Like, I was like, you have nothing else. You sent me a video of you getting knocked out, right? Yeah,
that's hilarious.
And so, you know, the ones that were really talented and ones who I thought was going to have like a pretty good career, I was thinking in my head, oh, I can sign them, right? I can sign them up. And the ones that were getting knocked out that were terrible, I said, I can't sign. So I said, hold on. After like the 10th video came in, I said, hold on, sign them up. Because it became a joke for me.
Duh.
And so that's where the sign them up and don't sign them up videos come from. And when I initially did it, I didn't expect for it to catch on like it did. Like some of those videos get 5 and 6 million views.
I believe it does.
You know, and so I'll go anywhere in the country now. I was eating at STK.
Cosmo.
Cosmo, a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there eating, and it was a group of guys that walked up behind me and screamed, sign them up, and scared the hell out of me, right?
Funny.
I jumped around.
Yeah.
And I just started laughing, dude, because it was so big. I was in Miami. A car pulled up on me with a gang of people in, and they were doing the sign them ups. I mean, it was – so for me, I knew that people had liked it and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And two, man, you know, I'm not – I have a lot of friends that are politicians and politics, and there's so much of the negative stuff going on social media.
100%.
You know, and just a lot of just drama and bad stuff being put out there. So for me, I just looked at it as a way to kind of just make everybody laugh, and it was good content, and people enjoyed it.
No, it makes a lot of sense, man. I promise you, for our listeners, do yourself a favor. I'm going to play it while it's hilarious what you've been able to do. I had a good time watching it. But who makes the decision on who the fighters are? Is it like, what do? You have to, not so much interview, but you're obviously fighting somebody. Or what are you doing to work them out to be able to say, okay, this is my guy. He's going to sign up for an event.
I got my matchmakers, right? So we do amateur and pro.
Okay.
And so I have my matchmakers who do my amateurs, and I do the matchmakers who do the pro.
Okay.
And so most of these up-and-coming fighters, they're getting coached by people already established.
Okay.
Big-name fighters, or these certain gyms they come from, so you know they're well-coached.
Okay.
And then we'll try to do, depending on where the fight is, we'll have a lot of locals.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how you sell the tickets. People want to come and see their favorite fighter from their gym, their cousin's friend.
You support.
So
it's
we get
a brotherhood too.
It
man.
Is.
I'm noticing.
It is.
Yeah.
This actually the sport of MMA is they're rabid fans, dude, and like they are strong to the core. Mm-hmm. And so for me to even come in this, in this industry and have success means a lot, because they don't let people in if you're not part of that MMA circle. They really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I kind of got that respect early on because I've been around it so much. I also fought a little bit myself, and kind of just being around in general. And so, you know, they build these fighters up from the locals and whatever, and then we're on Fubo. So we'll try to have a co-main event, a main event of people that everyone knows.
Got it.
They got a little bit
to
of a
draw name, some.
To draw yeah, some. Yep. You know, because you want to also be appeased into TV because we're seeing not only in this country, but in Canada, France, and some parts of Spain. Mm-hmm. And so you got to have a couple of names in there, guys.
Some with, big with markets, some experience. Man. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. You guys are not in Vegas so much yet, right?
Yeah.
Mainly California, LA. I think I saw Burbank, San Diego, and area. So, how often are you guys putting on these events? Is it every few months, or how are you guys putting together?
I try to keep it around every 6 weeks.
Okay, 6 weeks.
The rest of this year, and then we'll get to a point where we pick up and we'll go every month.
Okay,
like that's ultimately the goal. If we can sneak two in there once in a while, a month, if we have enough fighters, enough. Mm-hmm. You know, leeway time to do it.
Yeah.
But right now, about every 6 weeks.
That's what's up. Yeah. What's been your biggest obstacle, you know, creating this company? Because I know it's hard. I mean, to being able to do this from the ground up and really compete and get your name out there and get the business and the business plan and everything. But what's been your biggest obstacle to do that?
Well, you know, the thing is, so when I used to play, right, and we had the big Sunday night football games, mm-hmm. Monday night football games, mm-hmm. you come out there and your locker's set, the cameras are set, you just coming in there and doing your thing.
Yep.
Now you're on the opposite side of that. Now it's your production team.
Yep.
It's your operations team. So you're a part of that setup. Mm-hmm. And so I still get those butterflies I did when I walked out into a stadium before a game because we got 3.5 to 4 hours of live TV.
And that's a long, that's a lot of hours. Yeah.
And so you have your TV trucks, you hope, make sure everything is good out there. The connection is good. It looks good on camera the broadcast is everybody's aware of all the fighters, how the information. So, you know what it is? It's for me. It's leading a team, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for me to even to say I'm a CEO, but like I'm just leading a team.
Yeah.
Because you have so many different facets of the operations and production.
A lot of layers.
You know, a lot of layers to it. And so when people watch it on TV, like they don't know, like the fight weeks are is crazy as hell for me because
no,
you got
no sleep, yeah,
no sleep. Just, yeah, you know, because guys are. You know, dropping out. You know, you got to work with the California State Commission, or Athletic Commission, or wherever you're fighting at. So there's a lot of facets that go on. You know, a guy might have an accidental headbutt that week, or mess up a finger or a wrist. You're scrambling to get him an opponent.
Yeah,
right. Maybe that guy sold 100 and something tickets or 200 tickets.
Yeah,
and so now you have to replace that and just kind of move on the fly. So, I think that you have to be able to learn how to operate in chaos.
Good. That's a very good point.
You have to be able to operate in chaos, and then when everything get crazy, you got to be the cool one of it because everybody else is freaking out. So you're going to like, okay, relax.
How do I do my zen and keep everything right?
Everybody
right.
relax, yep. and then yep. you have to, you know, kind of delegate everything. Okay.
So do you see yourself coming to Nevada and Vegas? Is that would be the ultimate goal? Because seemed like was fight capital coming. So
And the thing is, like, you know, I think that when people – don't really understand the industry like that. Like we never want to compete with the UFC. We never even look to do that.
Okay.
There's a lot of fighters just looking for an opportunity that don't like the thing that saved the UFC is this apex that they have now.
Because now
they don't have to worry about going into a big stadium or arena.
Right there.
They can go right there.
Yep. Yep.
And so they got, I think they got 550 people on the roster signed.
Mm-hmm.
An active fighter has to fight about 3 or 4 times a year if you want to be active.
Yeah.
So if you do the math in that, you only having to fight every few weeks or a month,
you don't have the volume. Yep. Yep.
And so I think that was a brilliant move by them, but there's still so many fighters looking for an opportunity that want to one day get to the UFC or even just be seen because we're on Fubo, right? So we get a lot of eyeballs. We just moved into the top 5 most watched.
That's what's up. Congratulations, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
And so it's fun for me because it's still entertainment, right? Like you leave the field and you're still in a way, you know, putting on shows for people.
The Vegas Circle podcast is brought to you by RAC Financial. They help new and established businesses with simple, secure, and reliable payment processing. RAC's credit card merchant processing services are unmatched. Visit racfinancial.com today and mention Vegas Circle podcast.
That's what's up. How do you guys advertise and promote and get it out there and get the fights out there?
Yeah. I haven't spent a dollar on advertisement.
Get out of here. Yeah. Word of mouth? Yeah. You kidding me?
I haven't spent a dollar in marketing.
Yo, that is beautiful,
and
man.
That's why
that tells you a lot, man.
Yeah,
that tells you a lot.
Yeah. And it's cool because you know, for us to climb viewership and all these other great things we're doing, it's cool because we don't have to do that. Like I said, I have a built-in platform myself, but also, too, we know how to build fights. And we're not about trying to go raise $100 million and try to compete with nobody. We're we're just organically growing.
I love it.
And, you know, we have people all over the country that's reaching out now, you know, trying to get on the card. You know,
for once they figure out that you ain't spending no money and saying that, that changes the game, man.
Yeah.
Because they want to figure out what your template is. So,
But
that's awesome, man. Congrats to that. Let's talk a little bit about financial literacy a little bit. I know you played in the league for a long time. Do you coach any of these professional athletes that you, whether it's an MMA or even, you know, football players that are coming up, do they ever reach out to you? Or is that something that you touch on? Or,
And then first of all, you got to let them know like your success or your failures, the mistakes you made. Because I think you, people kind of let their guards down and relate to you by you telling them what you messed up at first.
Very much so.
And like, hey, you know, if you're thinking about doing this, I wouldn't do that because this will happen to me. Right. And so you automatically kind of get the, you know, the stamp from a guy that's looking to get in business. And most of the time for me, it's guys who are retiring or already retired.
Trying to set themselves up.
Those are the guys. When you're young, you're like, you don't care. You know, but when you start getting to the point where you actually thinking about calling it quits, you're looking for that next phase of your life. That's the guys who I get to reach out to me the most.
When you were like on your last kind of years going in, did you know like when you were going to retire?
Well, no.
You didn't know?
No.
Did it just?
No, because the athlete's always the last one to know we need to retire. Like mentally, I think mentally you can play until you're 50, right?
Because mentally.
I have no problem. I've never had a problem getting up in the morning, working out.
Like you play now.
I can give you 10 plays, but after that, you know, that's it. And it's one of those things where mentally you can always do it, but physically your body say, okay, this is enough.
Got it.
And for me, I got to the point where it's like, okay, my body's not going to let me perform like I used to. And I had to make a decision.
Okay.
Right. I also, you know, I've never been cut before and I've released. And then what happened was when I left the Chargers and I did get waived, and then you get stuck in that situation like, man, I really want to
move, do all this BS.
I get it. You know, new coaching staff's coming in. And so you start to weigh everything and weigh your options, what you got after. And I knew I had stuff lined up with TV right after. And I knew I had that. But you're always the last one to know. I remember my last game, one of my last games, I watched a film. I was like,
You could tell you lost a little bit?
Yeah, I was like, it's just that time to go because your body is not allowing you to do what your mind think you can do anymore.
Got it. Yeah. So when you were setting up, did you know like that you wanted to go into TV? Was that something that people were kind of asking you about and things like that? Or did you just know like, okay, this is something I want to do and at least get in the limelight because you knew you were good?
I always wanted to be on TV. So when I was playing, I was in the offseason, I was very active doing a lot of TV shows. One of my favorite ones I did a long time ago was remember Mad TV?
Yeah, of course.
So I did Mad TV. And then once I did that, I kind of started realizing I like TV a lot.
Okay.
And then the following year, I think I did Entourage on HBO.
Did you? Okay.
And then I ended up doing a Mindy project, had some sitcoms out on BET. So I was doing a broadcasting thing already because you can put me in a room and talk football. I could talk football all day. Barbershop, I don't care where you start talking football, I'm jumping in. And, so I realized that I just actually enjoyed doing it, right? It wasn't forceful or anything. I was like, hey, if it was an opportunity, it wasn't even about the money sometimes. Like I just wanted to do it. And then what that did was it opened up to there's a stereotype when you're an athlete for one, especially a football player, that you get stereotyped, you can't do these certain things, right? And so I wanted to kind of break that stereotype a little bit. I didn't have to go out there and throw my body around on Sunday and I go home and I'm lifting weights and that's it.
You could use your mind.
I can use my mind. Yep. You know, I can get an acting coach, I can spend the time and be disciplined doing something else. And so that's when I knew that I wanted to get kind of in the TV business.
I'm glad you said that. Like we've had multiple athletes on, you know, Steven Jackson, CJ Watson, a lot of different Marcus Banks. And it's amazing. Everybody wants it. I love what LeBron's been able to do is I'm not only an athlete. You know, there's other stuff that we can do other than shut up and dribble type of thing. So I love the aspect. You got many layers to you, for sure. Talk a little bit about your thoughts on Vegas and the Super Bowl being here at Allegiant Stadium coming up next year.
Yeah,
what's your thoughts on that?
It's going to be wild, man. You know, I've been out here for a little over about three and a half years.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to come out here a lot, and I had a bunch of friends in the hospitality business. We talked to one of our friends, you know, Jay Sean.
Yeah, Jay Sean, like, good dude.
Yeah. And so I've known a lot of these guys for, you know, over a decade, 15-plus years. And so the transition to move here was easy for me as well. And I just think that what's going on out here, it was already kind of the entertainment capital of a lot, but it's about to just go nuts because of the sports teams.
Man, you're lying.
F1. There's so much room for growth here, and people are coming and taking advantage of that. And they're seeing now that the Raiders have worked out coming here.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have baseball, and then you're going to have basketball, and that's all these things are happening.
What they were just doing is coming up this, I think it's like in November or December, they're putting like a full league together.
Oh, yeah.
That's unreal. They're going to be able to do. So you know it's coming.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And they're smart. Everybody's smart because this is a melting pot where you get people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And whenever you have people coming in all from all over the world, you can start doing more sporting and bigger events because people want to come here as a destination.
Yeah. I did want to ask you, do you miss playing in the NFL at times?
I miss competing.
Okay.
And I miss the locker room.
Okay.
And so those are the two things that you miss. You don't miss the politics. The money, you can make money doing other stuff.
For sure.
But I think that, you know, being around the camaraderie, being around the guys, that part you miss. Mm-hmm. And you miss being able to compete, you know, and then watching film all week, watching this guy kick slide and watching his movements and looking at the plays, his third and fourth. Mm-hmm. Oh, they like to run this play on third. So you miss the preparation to compete.
Yeah.
But you don't, you know, I don't miss dragging my feet out of bed in the morning, or just
my ice baths,
the ice baths every day. You know, you're putting a finger or shoulder back in place, you know, whatever it is. You don't miss that part of it. Everything else you do.
That's what's up. Yeah. Can you bless our listeners with us being a business show of just business advice, right? You've done a lot and you're still learning a lot and things. What's one gem you can leave our listeners with that if somebody wants to get in business for themselves?
You know, for one, everything is not going to happen for you overnight. Mm-hmm. And through that process, you're going to have a lot of failures, a lot of adversity, a lot of things that, you know, even I still have them days now where I'm like, am I doing this right? Am I doing enough?
Yeah.
Or am I doing too much? Yeah. Right. And so you always have to find that balance. Mm-hmm. And I like to go. Like, I want to just go. If I got an idea, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Like, it has
you
to happen.
Like me. I'm 2:00 in the morning, like trying to, make it happen.
Yeah. You know, it has to happen right now.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, as I got older, realized that everything's not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And so you are okay. Like, I never used to celebrate small victories.
Okay.
Right. I was like, no, I got to be big or it's nothing, right? Or if something big happens, I'm not big enough, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
And so you look at it. One of my boys, Ricardo Dixon, who I played ball with in college, he's actually out here right now. It's his birthday.
Okay.
And he came to, you know, one of my fights, the last fight we had, and it was his first time actually coming to one of my fights. We grew up together. Mm-hmm. Actually, we went to a UFC fight. I got him into MMA, right? Back in like the mid to late 2000s. And so he came there. He was like, he tapped me in the middle of the fight. Said, "Yo, you got like a league." You know, it was like one of those things.
Surprising for him,
You know, and so you know, he came and I walked him around. It's the big TV trucks outside. You know, I had a staff of about 67 people.
So that's
you know,
group,
and
man.
So he saw it, and then I kind of started thinking. I was like, "Yeah, we're not only national, but we're international product."
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to kind of step back a little bit, like, okay, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, nah, we got to be all over the world, you know, like this.
But he earned your respect though, which kind of gave you
And so, you know, so I started to celebrate the smaller victories because it's still a victory.
Yeah, for sure.
So I just got better at celebrating, being happy with the smaller, base hits and not trying to hit a home run every time you do something.
Just to be able to get one done.
That's it.
I can't even imagine. Like you said, the cost of everything. It's like looking at like Tyler Perry, for example, doing all those shows and taking the loss and taking the loss and taking the loss. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
So that's motivating, man. Just to transition a little bit, we always talk about restaurants. What is your favorite restaurant in Vegas?
Ooh. Yeah. You know, the easy ones always to say is the SDKs, the World Beauty and Essex.
Yep.
You know, I love Barry's.
Shout out to Yasin and Marco. And
that's my
Barry. That's really good news. We just had
Barry's. But I like Golden Steer. I like Puro's.
Amanda, we had on too from Golden Steer. Their family owns that. Great restaurant.
Yes.
Love all of those. Yeah.
So,
you're a steak guy.
Okay. Yeah. Steak. And then, I like Italian and stuff too.
Okay.
Yeah, so, dude, I'm out to eat once a week. Somewhere.
Okay. You like us, man. That's my problem is eating out. So,
yeah.
I love all the ones you did. I finally just checked out Beauty in Essex literally last week. So,
right.
It's a good place.
I went through a cathedral like couple weeks ago.
Okay, I heard about that. I heard about it. Too. Two of my friends went there, Victor and Bruno. They said it was great.
Yeah.
So, gotta check it out. Okay. Awesome, man. What else are you concentrating on for 2023? I know probably obviously a fight coming up, but what else are you trying to accomplish for this year?
You know, I got into this business. Obviously, I love the fight game.
Yeah.
And I love being around it. Actually, when I talked about the locker room, being around these guys is fun for me again because they talk a lot.
I bet they do.
I mean, they get after it. Yeah. And so I like being around that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been, you know, building other verticals when it comes to tech.
Okay.
You know, we've become, or in the next, you know, 3 to 6 months, a huge incubator for some of these other big AI companies, tech companies.
That's awesome.
We got so many things coming in the tech world that, you know, people have kind of been reaching out to try out with us.
That's what's up.
And so I feel like I'm in the best business in the world. I think right now there's nothing bigger than live sports. Nothing.
I agree.
You know, it's a reason
why. The energy you get from live sports.
It's the reason why Amazon going to pay $1 billion for a Thursday night football game.
Very much.
And in fact, that first game they had with the Chargers and the Chiefs with Amazon, they had like 17.5 million, 18 million people watched it. In the 3-day period, it was their biggest 3 days of selling product. And so what that really said is that you can capture a lot of things from live sports that you can't do anything else. Mm-hmm. You don't DVR those things, right? You don't record those things and watch it later. Live sports is live.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, we got a lot of fan engagement tech coming, very into the XR, VR, metaverse. Yeah. I mean, we're about to, it's, you know, so the fight stuff is going to take care of itself. We got fighters lined up and guys probably going to be one or two and done with us.
Okay.
You know, but we still want to give all these guys a shot and still also grow in our own community, right?
That's what's up.
Because we're not, like I said before, we're not trying to be bigger than the UFC. We don't care. We're not trying to be any Bellator, PFL. We're not trying to be anybody. But we have a really, really good in-house community of followers to follow Lights Out Extreme Fighting. We really just kind of cater to them and grow them.
Yeah.
Than anything else.
It's awesome. We had the guys on from Wander that are doing some amazing things in the AI space.
Yeah.
And they're based here in Vegas. So I love that you're able to do that and be able to continue to keep moving this forward. So that's awesome, man. What else did you want to share for us that I might have forgot?
We got a fight coming up, San Diego at Palma Casino.
What date is that?
Yep. August 26th.
Okay. So August 26th coming up.
Yeah, August 26th. And then after that we'll be in Long Beach.
Okay.
Every 6 weeks. And then we'll pop out. Vegas is a destination. You know, I was talking to you know, my guys over at Resorts World a little bit. I was talking to the Buffalo Bills casino right there. And what is that? Prem?
Yeah, Prem. Yep, correct.
And so, you know, we're going to make our way up here because there's a lot of fighters that's trying to, you know, get on.
Make it on.
Right?
Yeah,
they're trying to get on. But there's so many fighters in our down in California where we are.
Yeah.
That we can't even have enough fights to get them all on.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And then we have 16 fights when we do it. You know, we'll have 8 amateur.
One night.
We'll have 8 amateur and 8 pro.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a good problem to have, man.
Yeah.
There's not enough fighters. That's a real good problem to have. So, man, I'm absolutely rooting for you, man.
Appreciate
it. What's some of your social handles people can reach out to?
Yeah, they can check me out at Sean Merriman on Twitter and Instagram, then at LightsOutXF.
Okay.
And then we'll announce, probably by Monday, I'll have all the new stuff up for LightsOutXF.com for the MMA.
Okay.
We'll be selling tickets, prizes. And it's cool for us, man, because, you know, we do these predictions and cash giveaways for people just watching.
That's what's up.
And okay. So it makes it really fun for us when somebody wins something and they're like, yo, I just won $1,000, you know, watching Lights Out. So it's been kind of cool for
us. That's awesome. Well, support him, man. He's doing some great things. And check out his side him up or dot side him up. It's absolutely hilarious, man. But I appreciate you hanging out with us, man.
Thanks,
and
man.
VegasCircle.com. So thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
thank
thanks
you.
A lot. Yeah,
you got it.
That was awesome. Yeah.